Hello, everyone. This is Eric Pennington, and welcome to the Spirit of EQ podcast. We're glad that you've tuned in. A few things we wanted to tell you at the beginning of the show, and that's this podcast was created to be a tool to help you, primarily to discover and grow your EQ. Science and our own lived experiences confirm that the better we are at managing our emotions, the better we're going to be at making decisions, which leads to a better life. And that's something we all want. We're glad that you've taken out the time today to listen and hope that something that you hear will lead to a breakthrough. Hey, one last thing. We'd really appreciate a review on whichever platform you use to listen. And if you want to, leave some comments about what you heard today, as well as follow and subscribe. That way you won't miss a single episode as we continue this journey. And with that, the show begins. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Spirit of EQ podcast. I'm Eric Pennington, and joining me today is J.A. Dava with Latreia Coaching and Consulting, of which I may have butchered that, J.A., but you can correct me. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, and you did not butcher it.
I got it right.
Latreia is correct, and okay. Most people say Latreia.
Well, you know, the first time that I saw that, and obviously for our audience, J.A. and I have known each other for probably over 30 years, so there's some inside stuff happening while we're recording this episode. It's like, when you told me what the name of the company was, yes. I got a little anxious. And the reason I got anxious is like, how do I pronounce this?
Right.
Because I don't want to butcher it. You know, it's kind of like when you meet somebody and they give you their name and you're going, I'm never going to get it right the next time. But I did good.
Well, you did really well because we actually had, I was on a separate show where the guest, the host, absolutely said latrine. So I became a latrine cleaner.
Well, if that happens, I would be quick to say, okay, we need to get something straight.
Right.
It's not latrine, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah, cool.
So one of the things, what I was so excited about having you on this show, and I know we talked about it offline, is this idea, there's all this recommendation out there about how to grow your business and how to, in many respects, grow your sales, grow revenue, all that stuff. And that's important. So it's not me saying that I think that it's not. However, one of the things, Jay, that has really kind of plagued me is like, well, what about the people who really high aspirations? Maybe they got a new product, right? Or maybe they just got into a certain field and they're super excited. They've gone through the training, they got their certification or whatever, and then Monday comes.
Yes.
And, you know, from the perspectives, nine no's to get to one yes. You know, how many calls, how many times you need to send the email out over and over again. And some of that's based in science. And in fact, I know we're going to talk a little bit about that. But there's also that emotional toil, right? Or the emotional toll. Man, they've told me nine times no, not interested. I'm gonna go for, you know, I haven't been to that new Costco. You know what? I think they're gonna put that game on for the second time. They're gonna do a repeat. I'm gonna watch that. Tomorrow's another day. I'm just gonna try. And then they come back that next day, Jay, and they got nine more no's. Maybe they got a yes, right? Because that happens and that's a part of the process. So I wanna speak today to those folks who really wanna get it right. But maybe they're not either familiar or they haven't stepped in that Monday morass, right? That is inevitable. So can we start at like the basics? And I when I think of basics, I'm thinking, here comes my sports analogy, the blocking and tackling.
Sure.
You know? So if you are that person that I just described, what would be something you would say, okay, these are the first two or three things you should really be thinking about doing or doing? And of course, correct me if you need to.
No, no correction needed, but you did lay out a loaded situation there, right? I mean, you're going from the beginning all the way to halfway through what they should already be doing in their business. Mm-hmm. And Eric, I had the pleasure of having you read at my wedding. So, you know, at that time, I remember the pastor looking at us and looking at both Monica and I and saying, you two believe you're in love, aren't you? And then we said, of course. So you're not. You're not even close. You're in tingles. You're in tingles right now. And then eventually what's going to happen is Monday is going to come. Monday's going to come, and you now have to look at each other, and now you have to work through your routines and your daily lives, and you have to start to go to work, and you're going to have to start doing everyday life, but no longer by yourself, just with someone else at this point. And you got to be able to learn to blend, and it's that blending that's really going to tell you that you're in love. Well, I mean, Eric, that was such a lesson learned 30 years ago that I have to tell you, it is absolutely how I run my business today. You know, I've been, as you know, been an independent contractor for well over 25 years at this point.
Right, right.
But the one thing is that every single year I have a Monday experience. I have a Monday experience every single year. I have to look back. I have to take a good look at what my business looks like. I have to understand that Monday morning, I got to go back to work, no matter how good or bad that year was. So let's just take it to anybody that's just getting started. It's kind of like the tingles.
Can I interrupt you?
Yeah, please.
Because you really hit on something. We like the tingles though, right?
We do. That's the emotional side, right?
Right. We have this dream in our head, right? And I think about what you were saying. I heard intentionality.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you made a decision that I have to treat it like this.
Yes.
Because I know you like the tingles just as much as I do, Jay.
Yes. That's the fun part.
That's the fun part,
it
right?
Is. Absolutely.
But I think about this and I go, could it be? Because in a world system that continually pushes out the messaging about, it's all about the tingles. It's all about the tingles. And then the real world doesn't match up to that.
Right.
So yeah, that's I just had to right. kind of hit on that because that's awesome.
Because reality is that you're going to open your doors on Monday and a flood of people are not going to come pouring in.
Right.
Right? I mean, you've got to now implement all sorts of different strategies to make sure that when your door does open,
mm-hmm.
that people are flowing in.
Yep.
And you know, and when you're preparing your business, everything is exciting, Eric, right? And that when I So foundationally, when you're asking that question, if I were sitting in front of somebody who was just getting a business started, I really want them to be able to can what they feel like right now. You know, when they come in front of me, they're very excited. They're, you know, they might have just taken the course. They might have just graduated. They might have just, you know, retired from something and are moving on to something else. And all mm-hmm. of a sudden, they're very, very excited. And I tell them, can this feeling right now, understand this, because you're going to go back to this thing numerous times during your first week in business, because you gotta come back to it. Because Monday morning, let's just use that, and that's kind of become a can in this
right.
Can phrase in this conversation, Eric. Monday morning comes every day during the first few days, few weeks, few months, not few years of your business, and you got to continue to look back on that first day when you opened that door. You were just jacked. You were excited. You wanted to do everything. You had the numbers in your head. You have the business plan in your head. You have the returns on your investment in your head, and you're excited to go do it. And that has to continue to be the driving force of what you would call your so-called vocational time, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That vocational time becomes very important. When you say you're going to open your doors from 8 to 5, you're open from 8 to 5. You're working during that time. You got to implement your plan. You can't watch the television show of the second recording of that game, and you can't, yeah. you know, I mean, you can't, you, it, it's, and so much of it, when I say can't, you shouldn't.
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 Right, right. So when we think about that, and that's a very disciplined approach, I kind of like that idea because sometimes motivation can be deceiving in as much as that it almost, in some ways it implies that I'm waiting for something outside of me to happen in order for me to move. Now, to be clear for our audience, I'm not saying there's anything inherently wrong with that, because the way our brains are wired, it kind of works that way. Dopamine, right?
Sure, yes.
However, if we're waiting around for that, or if we're setting the game up around that, I think we set ourselves up for maybe potential failure, because sometimes it really does come down to, I need to just do these five things today.
Yes.
even though I don't feel like it, even though yesterday sucked, I still have to do this. Is discipline play a role here too?
Discipline is absolutely the key. Most business owners, right? I mean, you might find the drivers are there. Of course, you're a driver if you're starting your own business and all that. But most of the time, they're not employable. People are not employable for a very, very specific reason. And part of that reason is the fact that they don't really have, they don't like bosses telling them what they have to do, right? So discipline must kick in, whether it's your personality type or not. And Eric, you've known me well enough that discipline is something that, I mean, I'd rather fly off the seat of my pants than to be disciplined. But I've had to literally teach myself how to not be myself when it came down to my business side of me.
It's so funny, Jay, because I remember I had a friend once, and it was a time in my life where I was struggling to make entrepreneurism work, and I was getting kicked out of corporate land again and again, and I remember going to him saying, I just don't know what to do, and I'm trying to figure this out. And he goes, well, Eric, most companies are going to see you as a flight risk.
Yes. So unemployable, right, Eric?
Yeah. Right. And I remember looking at him going, really?
They're unemployable. I mean, people are just unemployable. So it is absolutely an even bigger, it's the discipline to be disciplined.
Right.
Because, you know, Eric, everyone that I've had the privilege of serving on the coaching side of things and on the consulting side of things, I'm known to walk into a room if I'm speaking in public where I will say, hello, CEOs. I mean, it's just my opening phrase. And they might not be CEOs. They might be salespeople. They might be CEOs. They might be managers. They might be. But here's the thing. When you are an independent contractor and you've started your own business, whether or not you've titled yourself a CEO, you are. Because really, to me, the title means that there are certain things. If you think about how many CEOs succeed out there, and you look at the traits of the successful one, there's a couple of things that falls into place right away. The first one is that these CEOs have an absolute business plan. They know what they're going to do the next quarter. They know what they're going to do for the year. They know what they're going to look like 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. They just do. Now, some that don't, we don't really hear about them anymore, right? Because they don't really have a disciplined plan. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, the other common factor is that they realize that they will not succeed alone. There's not one single CEO that I know that has ever been successful by themselves. Even the best of the best athletes never did it on their own, right? They had coaches and everything else. So why do I say that? Because number one, the discipline, and then the second thing is accountability. Accountability is what that other person is all about. Now, whether or not that is a person. Now, there are other people that are going to help you get successful, but you can't do it alone. You've got to be able to sit down with your spouse. You've got, you know, if you're self-employed and you're starting your own business, did you consult with your wife, your husband, your spouse, your partner, and really talk about what it's going to look like on Monday morning, every Monday morning, right?
Yeah.
And is there a separation between that? Because some people are not even disciplined enough to really run their own business. They can't work for 8 hours a day, you know? And I'm a firm believer, Eric, that there's, you and I both have 8 hours. Think about this, Eric, for a second. 8 hours of sleep, 8 hours of work, and 8 hours of play. You look at it that way. Isn't that a lot of hours?
Yeah, that does.
8 hours of play.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that for a second. I don't think I play for 8 hours a day.
No.
But yeah. 8 hours of work, if I were disciplined enough, I truly believe that our makeup says that we can be successful in an 8-hour day. I have no doubt in my mind. And most people waste 2 to 3 hours of their day without even knowing it.
Yeah, and certainly, and we've talked about this in other podcast episodes about finding when you have your most optimal energy, focus, and drive, and sort of harnessing that to your point about actually knowing it versus, oh, I feel like it, I might do it, I might not, undisciplined behavior, right? And I would say for our audience as well that, you know, this is not exhaustive in nature, because I know there are some out there, and maybe you're like me, the highly creative romantics who oftentimes are sometimes at the mercy, I would say at the mercy, maybe I should say it, who can have a tendency to not feel motivated, not feel disciplined or whatever. Mm-hmm. Now, before you hear me say, well, if you're in that category, it's cool. You don't have to do what Jay said. No, because Jay, what I have found in my journey is that I have things I know I've got to take care of.
Sure.
I'm accountable to business partners. I'm accountable to my wife. I'm accountable to anyone that I've said, this is what I do. This is my mission.
Yes.
So that's where the power of our brains kick in, the ability to pivot, to change, to be able to do things that are uncomfortable. I wish sometimes I was as disciplined as I have relatives in the financial sector, accountants who can just pile away at and, you know, one, two, three again, one, two, three. They just were born with that lucky gene, I guess.
Right.
But it's not a lost cause. It's not that, well, I'm this type of personality, so therefore I can't. Because quite frankly, what I've had to do as well is I've had to surround myself maybe with strategic partners who had some more of those things that I don't possess to help balance me out.
Right.
So there's multiple ways to get to that. However, one of the things that you mentioned about accountability, and you talked about, have you had that discussion with your spouse, your partner, or whatever? Is that a part of counting the cost? And I'm using that term to kind of go, okay, there is going to be a Monday morning. There yes. needs to be a business plan.
Yes.
Is that kind of where you're going with it too?
Absolutely, Eric. And I was really setting up as we go into what that 8 hours of vocation should look like.
Yes.
And what you're going to be spending in there.
Yep.
But absolutely, that's part of, you know, you're not alone. I don't care what anybody says. You know, I'm building this business on my own. I'm going to win that marathon on my own. I'm going to. It's never I'm gonna. We're gonna. One way or the other, you're going to count on somebody else to help you get to whatever finish line you're trying to get to.
Right.
And so from a business perspective, yes, the discipline, there is a cost to that. There's going to be a cost to your family on that. There's going to be a cost to your spouse, you know, definitely your spouse, your friends, your family, even your lifestyle for a while. Right. I mean, it's not business as usual, especially if you're diving in. But I'm telling you what, it is one of the most exciting, exhilarating things. Like, I never thought I'd ever be back in sales, Eric. I hate sales. I absolutely do not like sales. And I mean, and you and I were salespeople together at one point. And I can tell you right now.
Isn't that the irony?
Right. And I don't like it. But guess what? All of a sudden, I've worked for other companies in my coaching and training career. Even though I was an independent contractor, I was still working under somebody else's plan and somebody
sure.
else's deal.
Yep.
And so I was just following orders at that point. Well, when I started my own business, you know, if you were to ask me today what my favorite part of my job is, sales. I actually really like sales. Why do I like sales? Because I feel like I'm talking to people. I'm just talking to you. I want to listen to you. I want to be able to solve whatever it is that I think you reached out for or I reached out to you. I want to find if there's a need, if there's a way that I can bless you back.
Kind of like a, how would I say this or phrase it? You're trying to offer assistance and help for what they're trying to accomplish
yes.
and get to.
Yes. And so, you know, and it becomes kind of just that game of, I want to get to know you better. But, you know, and I want to, I don't know if I'm going to end up serving you. I really don't know. But it's kind of fun to get deeper into a relationship with people without the concerns of a boss who just wants the closing right now and then. It needs 10 closings today. And if you don't get it, hang the phone up. Don't spend time with people. You know what? That's bunk, right?
Right.
But you should be disciplined enough to understand what it's going to take on a daily basis before you take your first break. You should know that when you walk into a retail shop, you got to unlock the door for people to be able to get in.
Right.
That is a routine. And then you've got to be able to go and make sure that you're back at the cash register when that door is open. So when people are buying, that you're there. And then you've got to make sure your merchandise is well folded and ready to go before you even open that door. Those disciplines, well, in your line of work, my line of work, in the coaching, in the business world, that's the one thing that most people don't have. Unfortunately, is They have the disciplines. They don't have the know-how. They don't know how to be disciplined for their business.
Right.
They do believe, most people, especially if there's any semblance of sales in your business, which every business has sales.
Yeah.
You have to, I mean, there is a sales part of you that has to go out. And the largest percentage of your time, your energy, your money spent in your business should be on marketing and prospecting and not sales. Most people, though, when they talk about their business, they talk about sales. It feels like that's all they do is sales. Listen, the majority of your time should be spent prospecting and marketing. And explaining that a little bit further, the reality of that, sales never will occur without first you prospecting and marketing. It will never happen, even with your friends. Mm-hmm. It will never happen because most people don't even really know what it is you do.
Interesting.
And the minute you start telling them what you do, then they know how to bless you back if they really want to be able to do that. Or if they need your services, they're going to
I'm interrupting, but would that be a case of when you begin to tell whomever or whatever audience what you do, is that the moment that the marketing spigot turns on? Because you are telling the world what you do.
Yes.
Okay.
Think about the tingles for a second, Eric, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
When I got married, right? I mean, shortly after that marriage, I couldn't wait to tell everybody I was married.
Right. And you probably introduced, this is my wife.
Yes. And I told her how special she was, how awesome she was.
Yeah.
And you know the story behind all of that. Man. I mean, it was just absolutely a beautiful time. And you told everybody, and everyone knew that Jay Dava is now married.
Right.
Right. And there's a new life. There's a new sense of excitement and things like that. People, though, they go into the tingles of creating a business. And then here's where the craziness of this whole thing is. They might have, even if you tell them, make 10 phone calls a day.
Right.
Do yourself a favor. Discipline yourself. Make 10 phone calls a day. They get into that office and they go, I can't call Susie. Susie's a good friend of mine. I can't tell Susie what I really do because that sounds like I'm just going to sell that person. Well, if what you're doing is serving somebody, why would you honestly not want to tell somebody that you care about how you serve people? And keep me top of mind, right? Keep me top of mind if you meet somebody.
Interesting, Jay.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking about somebody in our world who's been certified to use one of our tools. And I want to be totally empathetic to those who are just getting started and maybe see this as a pretty big mountain to climb because they're afraid of how they'll be perceived. They're afraid that people think that you're just trying to sell them something, that
sure.
kind of thing. But we had a conversation and I could tell that she was the idea of like going out and marketing, telling the world was a little, gave her a little anxiety, right?
Sure.
And I just kind of alluded to, I said, so do you think this tool is powerful and it's what the world needs? Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Well, what if I told you, let's not tell anybody?
Right.
She got it. And the thing about it is, and I'm guilty of it. I will say, thankfully, I'm less guilty of it today than I was 10 years ago, of taking my thinking and transferring that to yours.
Right.
Right? For example, is... Oh, I'm going to offer what I do to J.A. And then I start thinking, well, J.A., he probably wouldn't want to travel all the way down here. So now that's probably not going to work. Now, and you know, J.A., you know, he's kind of conservative. He probably thinks this area. So I'm creating this story in my head.
Correct.
I haven't asked you a question. I haven't asked, what do you like about this area of town, J.A.? What don't you like about it?
Yeah.
How do you feel about driving? I've just concocted a story. And you and I know, Jay, that the more that story gets concocted and it goes over and it's a loop, I decide I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to mention it to him. So we go around, it feels like at times, looking for people that fit the story that we've created in our heads.
Yes.
I can't think of how many times I have been so blown away when I discover the person that I thought didn't have the money but had bundles and bundles and needed what we offered, right?
Correct.
Versus, again, And for our audience, it is kind of a warning. Be careful with the story you create in your head. When you're talking to someone, let them tell you the story so that you can know exactly what you have.
That's right.
Right? Yeah. So anyway, I took us off on a little rabbit hole there, but
no, but contrary to what, I mean, you're walking down, it's still related to everything that we're talking about here, because I mean, if you think about it, contrary to what most people feel and do, and people want to be a blessing to others. They just do. I mean, yeah. Especially if you know them, right? Unless right. they're jealous of you and things like that, which is more rare than it actually is not, right? And
right.
so, and so people want to be a blessing to you, but if they don't know how to be a blessing to you, they have no clue. I'm in the industry, in the mortgage industry, right? I coach a lot of mortgage lenders. The world's changed in their world, and people have no idea how to help you if you have not yet reached out to them to tell them about what they should be doing to keep you top of mind. Because Eric, you and I have been in the business before. In the real estate and the mortgage world, if you ask a salesperson what a good lead is, it would be someone that is ready, willing, and able to buy. But that's what they say. In fact, it's a canned phrase. We learn it in mm-hmm. in real estate school, and we learn how to spell it. We know how to put it together. We know how to say it. And so we say it that way. In today's world, though, Eric, it's no longer the case. Because by the time Eric plays it out in his mind, well, I've got this friend who's ready to buy a house, but I'm not sure if they're going to buy it this year or next year, and I'm not going to bother JA with that. So I'm not going to give it to Jay until they get hot. And then all of a sudden, you know, Jay doesn't even hear about it. And all of a sudden, your friend says, hey, we found a house. We're going to go. And you said, great. I've got this great guy you got to meet. And, oh, Eric, I already have like three or four of them. And next thing you know, it never became a lead for me. You couldn't give it to me as a blessing now because it's too late. When people start, you know, so whatever services people are starting with, tell people about it. Tell people about it to keep you top of mind. Tell people that you need their help. I mean, that's one of the greatest things that's come out of COVID, is that it separated people long enough to say, I need you.
That's a great way of putting it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need you. And I mean, and people ask the script, people ask me all the time, what would be your number one script? Be real. Be very real. Because Eric, I mean, is that an iPhone sitting right there?
Yeah.
Can I put you through something real
yeah,
quick?
Sure.
And this will be for everyone that's listening on your audience.
Okay.
So if you have an iPhone, just do me a favor, Eric, and just go to your contacts here. Just, you know, that little phone down here where your phone is, like as if you're going to make a phone call.
Yep.
And then down in the bottom, in the middle bottom, it says contacts,
yep.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and hit that, Eric.
Just, yep.
And then right there on the left-hand side, upper left hand, mm-hmm. is the word list.
List.
Go ahead and hit that.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the number that you see on there under all contacts?
1,182.
Okay. Go ahead and hit your all contacts. Just hit it for me. Okay? And everyone that's listening to this thing, do this, especially if you're looking to build your business. Now, you should be on the letter A, correct?
Correct.
And you don't have to tell me who it is,
mm-hmm.
but the first two names, not businesses, but two names, actual people.
Mm-hmm.
Three questions you should ask yourself. Do you know them, one, or do they know you,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, do they know what you do? Can you answer that question?
That's really good.
Okay. Third, do they know what a good lead is for you? Not them. But they might know somebody, right? Most people know people that might be able to use your services. But people are asking all the time, what's my script? How about just saying hello? How about telling them I need your help? How about just telling them, and here's anyone that could use my services is this. You got to tell them what you do. Eric, I don't think I knew what you did for the longest time, right? I knew you were an author,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
But as time went on, you and I really started digging into EQ and my better understanding. How many times I asked you over and over, what exactly is EQ, right?
Right.
And I mean, and so even one-time situations can never, I mean, think about that, Eric. You have 1,000-something people right now you could call for your business, not necessarily that you're going to sell them your business,
right.
but to say, I would love your help and I would love for you to think about me if one of these people that you know, I mean, 3,000 something, right? So you have friends probably who have 10,000 of them. You think somewhere in that 10,000, somebody could use the business of Spirit of EQ.
What you're doing is so awesome, Jay, because you've turned something that might be a little, I'm at a loss for words about it, a little intimidating into something that's very approachable. Because yes. You didn't say, now you need to call all those thousands of people and say, I'm looking to do this and I want to sell this and I would you like to buy this? It has a different feel to it. And yes. I'm kind of playing with the language there. But if you, what you just described, I could start doing tomorrow and just, you know, I 10 yes. of them a day. 10 yes. of them a day. And just, you could create a script that just want to let you know I do X, Y, and Z. Not sure if it's right for you. Not sure if it's, but do you know of any others that might? I'd like you just to, I mean, whatever your script is, right? Which I'm going to pause there for a minute. I said script. What are your thoughts about having a script for the exercise?
I think it's a must until you own it. I think it's a must until you own it. And so what I mean by that is that, you know, I mean, so like even 1,000, if you think about the script that we just talked about.
Yep.
Do they know you? Mm-hmm. Do they know what you do? And do they know what a good lead is for you? Mm-hmm. In other words, do they know how to bless you back? Because people do want to bless you back, right?
Yep.
So those are the three things that you just need to be. I mean, for some of you, some of us, like, sadly enough, the first guy on my list, I have no idea who he is. And I've called him a couple of times. He's never called me back. I have no idea who he is. His name's Wes. Something. I won't say his last name in case he's listening. He's like, that's me.
Wes, if you're out there.
But that's me. Wes, if you're out there, call Jay Dava. Yeah. I've called you enough times. But you know, I've called this person, and I don't know who he is. I mean, that's kind of sad that he's on my phone. I don't even know who he is, right? Mm-hmm. But the thing is that we all have that. So the first thing is to just be able to say hello. Tell him who you are, right? Hey, you're in my contacts list. Even if you have to be so honest, people feel like they have to take sales and they have to get clever. They just don't. And then being able to share with them that, you know, I have no idea. I mean, think about this, like that Wes, if he ever called me back, I would say, Wes, I have no idea how I know you. But the fact is, you're first on my list in my letter A, and I'm just curious how we know each other. And then, you know, what business are you in? Because I don't have to immediately dig into what I'm doing, especially in your contacts list, because you should know.
Right.
And then asking them a very open question like that, and then have them talk and say, that's great. I'd love to be able to meet with you or you know, I'd love to be able to help you with your business. If they have a business, if they work, that's okay too. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm reaching out, because the second part of that script is to tell them what it is that you do. And then really, by the time you're done with that, you might be done at that level because you're not ready yet to do it. And it's okay. But you've got a follow-up list where then you're going to start talking about what kind of a blessing it could be back on them. And here's who I'm looking for. So in case you ever run into anybody, would you keep me top of mind?
Right.
I love that whole idea of keep me top of mind as part of my script. Mm-hmm. But until it's automatic in your world, who am I? What do I do? And how do people bless me? If I can understand those three things, mm-hmm. I can say it however way I want to, say it in your way.
So. That's awesome. That's awesome. And what I think about for the audience, there will be our show notes and timestamps around subject matter. This is a good cadence that you've just described. And I think, Jay, what it will do, it will give those in the audience and beyond some ways that they can demystify and take away the intimidation that, because to what you pointed out, when you're in business for self, and quite frankly, I love how you talked about greeting everyone as the CEO, because I don't think there is a single person that's not self-employed.
Correct.
I mean, especially when you think about the age that we live in now. But I think it puts people in a position where they can approach this way of growing their business without it being so intimidating and deconstructing or demystifying what sometimes is sales and what it takes to achieve that. I'd like to take you down a bit to the idea of how do we know, and this maybe relates to planning and execution, right?
Okay.
So we're gaining some traction. Maybe some of the things that you've talked about are starting to take flight. Measuring success. And this one has really been on my mind a lot lately, is that what do you do when you are, quote unquote, you've hit your goals? Mm. And then you start, well, then if I did this many thousands, millions, then I should do this next millions or thousands, whatever it is you equate. But J.A., sometimes I think that can turn into a kind of rather meaningless pursuit, because once you hit X percent, then you hit the next X percent. So what are some other ways in which we can attach some success to these plans and these execution techniques that may carry someone a little bit further than just I hit the number?
Yeah. You know what, Eric? I love that question, only because it tails back to 8 hours of work, 8 hours of play, and 8 hours of sleep. We all could have it, but if we're not disciplined enough to do it, we're going to rob others. I mean, we're going to rob the other 8 hours.
So it's almost like you're stealing from different.
Oh, and you will. Okay. And most people will, right? Yeah. And then so because they're not disciplined enough. And so what I love about what you're asking is that, you know, when you're working, think about that. I'll go back to the retail shop for just a sec.
Sure.
You went in there and you opened your doors and you said, I'm going to sell $1,000 worth of shoes today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so the first lady comes in and she wants to buy 10 pairs of those $100 shoes. I mean, you got every color in the book, and she goes, I love them. And by the way, that's a real deal, by the way. Some people do buy, you know.
They have a shoe thing.
Yeah, they have a shoe thing. You know, I'm Filipino, so Imelda Marcos comes into play. But anyways, I digress. But anyway, so and they come in, and all of a sudden it's $1,000, and the owner says, man, I did it. Shut my doors. I'm going to go play golf. This is not 8 hours of play. Your discipline is 8 hours of work, because when you're hot, why stop? Right? People will stop because they're not hot. And then when they're great, they stop. Why stop the momentum? Right? If you know you're working for those 8 hours, listen, here's a phrase for you. And I'm not a phrase guy. I kind of think sometimes they're silly, but I do love this phrase. If you're getting paid what you think you're worth, you're no longer worth what you're getting paid. Okay? So so in other words.
Let's say that again, Jay.
Yeah, I'm going to try.
This is really good.
Yeah. If you're getting paid what you think you're worth, you're no longer worth what you're getting paid. In other words, you stopped.
Okay.
Right? So if I'm saying I am worth $100,000, right? Mm-hmm. It didn't matter. And yeah. I opened my doors. I said, I'm going to work for 8 hours. And I hit it for that hour. And boom, I killed it, you know, whether it's in hours or days or weeks or years.
Right.
I hit it. And then the minute I hit it, I went, I'm done for the day. Right. You could have ended the day with 200,000. Not that I'm, you know, I'm just putting those numbers in there because they can be grandiose. It could be any win, right? It could be any win. I mean, when, you know, I doubt that Michael Jordan got out there and said, I'm going to score my highest ever is 36 points in one game. I'm sure it's higher than that, but I'm just saying, mm-hmm. you know, he doesn't sit there and say, I'm going to get 38 today. And as soon as he gets 38, he looks at the coach and says, pull me out. I'm done, man. I did my share.
Right.
Doesn't happen that way. They get driven. The most driven people are driven by their own success. And if you're in that lane still and working, keep it going, because there's going to be times where those 8 hours are not going to look the same.
And I'm glad you said that, because I think there's other ways in which we can equate value and sort of the win, right?
Yes.
So again, we'll go back to your analogy of the retail store and the shoes, right?
Right.
Or again, we can go to someone who's, maybe it's their sales quota or how many ever of right. whatever. If you're staying in that lane of I work for 8 hours, there's a tremendous value in you being a mentor to someone who just got into the business. There's yes. tremendous value of doing pro bono work for a nonprofit. There's tremendous value because this is the other part, Jay, and I was talking with our producer before you came in, that if we were to list all the things that have great value to us in our lives, it wouldn't all just be confined to only. And I want to be very clear for you, for the audience. I am not saying that hitting your financial goals is not important. I'm saying it's hitting your financial goals and, underline the word and, the value associated with other things.
Right.
Other people, other pursuits. Because I think sometimes, especially in the entrepreneur world, we can sometimes get so obsessed about revenue and sales that we lose sight of the fact that that's very important. It's also very important about what you are investing in others and people. I mean, all the dynamics of that.
Yes.
And I love how you broke the 24-hour day down, because I think for me, at least, I can see it in my head. I can go, okay, this is my 8 hours to dedicate to work.
Yes.
And maybe for another show, Jay, we could talk about what happens when we're not giving us ourselves the sleep we need and the right. play that we need. But the reality of that is, I think we can find that it's not just about, again, hitting your financial metric goal and you did it by 10 a.m.
Right.
Okay, well, that's great. Keep going. And also be creative to think, well, there's other ways that I can get a return on investment with, again, maybe I'm going to mentor this kid who's just getting into the business and really wants my support.
Yes.
There's a tremendous value in that. So to your point, so what are some things I am in the world that we run? I sometimes call them the self assassins, you know, the and everybody's got their own, right? I am an information junkie. You know this about me. I want to read the article. I saw that article in Wall Street Journal and I got to, and if I'm not careful, I can easily go from, and then I'm over here.
Right.
Oh, Jay, I'm sorry. I forgot you were here. So I call them self-assassins because it robs me of, maybe again, if we use your analogy, the 888 thing of focusing in on what. So what are some self-assassins do you think that can plague the business owner, the salesperson, or whatever?
I love how you're saying self-assassins. I'm not mm-hmm. quite used to that yet. And that's really gruesome.
I know. I might need really to reevaluate my branding on that.
Because I call them time wasters, right?
Okay, I like that.
I call them time wasters. But I think we're starting to line up here what kind of business you run, Eric. But no,
that's right. This is the last show you're ever going to do.
Exactly. I know you all too well, Eric, and this is not necessarily what I do know. So the time wasters are absolutely those things that kill people's business. And so, and you have to go back. First and foremost, you have to identify whether or not you have an 8-hour day. I mean, you gotta determine that. I have clients that work only 6 hours a day, 5 hours a day. They want to accomplish certain things. I have clients that are part-timers. They don't really want to be full-time income earners. So they have a set thing right. that they do. And I have to work within that boundary, and I have to try and teach them what kind of disciplines they should have. Well, I mean, so first it starts with understanding the 8 hours that you have. And then now you've got to be able to work on that. And then in those 8 hours, this is not the time that when you're on your way to go meet an appointment, that at the end of that appointment, because you got a win, mm-hmm. there it is. Let's yep. just say it on the positive side.
Yep.
You got a win. They said they're going to buy from you.
Yep.
And all of a sudden you said, you know what? I've been wanting to stop at Nordstrom's for a while, and so I'm going to go over there and I'm going to go shop. And you know what? It's such a beautiful day. I'm going to continue to walk around this mall. It's going to be kind of fun. And I've had a good win today, so I'm good. What mentally is really happening, Eric, think about this. You know, you're in the EQ world. Emotionally, you're setting yourself up, and you're starting to dumb yourself down. You told yourself you're going to make 10 calls, whether it's live sales calls or 10 phone calls, whatever it may be. You went to that first one, and instead of taking that and riding out the success, because you're probably going to get 9 no's in a row.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And that could happen. But experiencing the 9 no's builds you. But when you say, I'm done, then all of a sudden you're giving yourself you're locking yourself in to defeating your own plan. Because you're saying, listen, I'm a one guy. I'm a one and done type of a guy. I don't need to go to 10 today. I'm just going to look for that first win and I'm done. And next thing you know, your plan of making 10 phone calls a day, 50 a week, taking 90% of them are no's, but you're getting the 10 wins. All of a sudden you're settling for a win a day instead of 10 wins.
You know, as you mentioned that, it makes me think about just about how our brain can normalize just about anything.
Yes.
And I think that there's a cautionary tone to what you're saying, because it's not only that one day that you do it, because if you do that, let's say 2 days later, and then you do it the following week, your brain is going to start to think, this is the way we roll.
Right.
And anybody that's tried to make a major change or pivot to these neural pathways we create, it's really, really hard. We tell ourselves that, oh, I'm going to stop. Yeah, I get it. This month, I learned my lesson. I'm going to do what you just said, Jay, my 8-hour. I'm not going to. And then you'll find yourself, man, they bought. And it only took like 5 minutes.
Yes.
Man, I wonder if Nordstrom still has that jacket I was looking at last week.
Right.
Because your brain's on autopilot. Got to make this easy. Right. We normalize it. And that, and our audience that has listened to us for a long time, Jay, they know our deal is not, we're not trying to throw it at you in judgment. We're just saying that's what you got to be careful. Because sometimes people think that our decisions happen in a vacuum, but they don't. They lead to behavior. And what you're talking about is behaviors.
Yes. And you know what, Eric, and you know, when you were asking earlier, doing certain things, so during your 8 hours, you know, if you tell yourself, like when I said earlier, the largest percentage of your time, energy, and dollar spent in your business should be on marketing and not sales. Mm-hmm. In other words, marketing and prospecting.
Yeah.
There are a lot of books that will tell you anywhere from 25 to 33% of your time should be spent on that.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take it to the lowest amount. If you're working 40 hours a week to build your business, to take care of your family, to really get your return on your investment,
mm-hmm.
at least 10 hours a week, you should be dedicating of that 40 into what is called prospecting. And I'm a firm believer in time blocking that.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that every day you got to turn that key at 8 o'clock if you say your door is going to open at 8 o'clock. So when every day you have 2 hour blocks, let's say you're one of those people that just goes 2 hours here, 2 hours here, 2 hours here. In 5 days, I've got all 10, right? Mm-hmm. And that's it. I would rather that you sit down at your desk and look at a blank sheet of paper and discipline yourself to the point where you're not going to take care of other things, the time wasters. And the time wasters are looking at social media, see if anybody has responded to the last thing I talked about, mm-hmm. who likes me, who doesn't like me. Maybe I need to shop for this and stop because I'm just sitting here for 2 hours. What am I going to do? I would rather you put everything down because the only thing you should be doing during those 2 hours is to make the 10 phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
We've proven it over and over again that this is how it's almost silly, Eric, the amount of phone calls that people could make. If they just take that same phone list that you had and make 10 deliberate calls per day, 50 for the week, if they've been in business for a long time, they're giving themselves a shot and being able to increase their business by 40%. If they're brand new to the business, it's going to give them a consistent 1 to 2 to 3 more transactions, that type of thing, sold and mm-hmm. everything else.
Right.
So in other words, it's going to give them a consistency if they're brand new. But that whole thing, like I was talking about earlier, if there's 50 phone calls to make for the week, 10 a day, get the 10 done because you have no idea. The win is always awesome because you'll always ride that. But the 9 losses of the one that came from the 10 and you got it at the front end, going through the 9 defeats should be a welcome part as well because it's what's going to teach you your approach. It's what's going to teach you, what am I saying? What am I offering? What am I doing? Because most people think that, you know, that they have it. No, they're going to script themselves out whether they want to or not. And I've had to get scripted. And you know what? I mean, I'm a coach, so it's very easy for me to say, go hire someone that's going to coach you. And when they coach you, they're not, and please understand this, a coach doesn't just come in again to teach you the basic how to tackle, how to wrap your arms around. They teach us that they, in football terms, they teach you the X and O's. You know, so when you think about the X and O's in football, and you see them, you see coaches writing X's and O's. That's usually the offense and the defense.
Yep.
They're not talking about how to wrap your arms. They're not talking about how to turn your head this way and wrap and hit them this way. That's not what they're talking about. What they're talking about is execution.
Yeah.
And that's what your coach is going to do. You already have it inside of you. You might have even taken the courses to be able to do that. But when you, but a coach is going to sit here and say, get the 10 done. Otherwise, they're going to run right around you and they're going to score a touchdown. You'll lose.
Yeah.
And so you get, you know, so coaching, accountability, all of those things, they'll help you put a business plan together, which I think every CEO needs. Once you know what your business model looks like, then you know what your daily activity should look like. I do think you should work within those 8 hours and put everything inside of those 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But accomplish it. Don't shortchange yourself because you have a great win. Absolutely don't shortchange yourself because you're having a horrible day. A horrible day to a salesperson is getting no's, right?
Yeah.
They might get 10 in a row. It's okay. That's most people I know, by the way, have never, and I've been in this business long enough, nobody, I seriously don't know, too many people have said to me, J.A., get out of my world. Just get out of my life. You know, this is horrible. Quit selling me something. They don't do that. It's never that painful, by the way, right?
Right.
Most people are not saying no. They're just saying not now. And you're going to feel that, but you've got to go out there and feel that. And so if you're excited about your business, I mean, we started our business, Eric, in one of the toughest times in the industry.
Right? Yeah, yeah. When I think about our clients, Spirit of EQ clients, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think about the approaches that we would take in telling our story, who we are, what we do, to your point earlier. One of the things that I felt was really, really important is that we didn't act like every other company that does what we do, right? Mm-hmm. Whether you call that a training company, a coaching company, what have you. Because I think people can sniff out inauthentic approaches. I don't know about you, Jay. I think I'm now going on 10 to 15 pitches a day that I get. Mm-hmm. And it runs the gamut. They can increase my sales by 500 million percent in 2 hours to franchise opportunities. Right. I mean, it just runs the gamut. And I have a bit of empathy for them because I know that somebody probably said, this is the way you do it.
Right.
And I go, you may have a plan, and I understand that you are trying to do your plan, but one of the things that I think lacks is like you're just like the 15 others. You've used the same approach. And on top of the fact, I don't know you.
Yeah.
I mean, I have no connection to you beyond you just reaching out blind. So I would think if you're going to reach out blind, wouldn't you want to make it you? I mean, really
yes.
You. Not you that you were told to be, but yes. The you that you are. And I'm kind of circling back to what you said about having a script until you own it.
Yes.
That's where I'm going with it, is that it, do all that you can to get to a place where you're owning what you're presenting to the world, because you're the only you,
yes.
Right? So I'm saying all that also to go to when someone has a tough week, maybe a tough month, right? And we know the dynamics of how that feels. What are some things that you have used, whether it be past or even present, to kind of encourage people to keep going?
Yeah. First of all, the first thing that needs to happen is to check your ego, period.
Open that up a little bit more when we talk about checking your ego.
Yeah, check your ego because what, you know, you're self-employed. You went in there gangbusters, you had the tingles, you had all of those things, right? And then when you hit a rough spot, all of a sudden you feel like you can't really tell anybody because you got to fake it till you make it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
And I'm not sure that I disagree with faking it and making it, right? I don't necessarily disagree with that. But where I disagree with that mentality is you're faking it so badly that you won't even ask for help. The people that could help you.
Is that rejecting vulnerability?
Yes,
rejecting the absolutely. Humility?
100%. And that's what it is. You know, if I were taking your course, I'm going to start an EQ business, right? Mm-hmm. And I take it through your course.
Yep.
And man, I am just absolutely excited. You've obviously been in it long enough because you're now teaching it. So I get all excited and I start my business and I spent all this money readying myself. First week, every day was a Monday. Every single day was a Monday. And first week, all of a sudden I'm going, yeah, that was painful. I'm probably just going to do twice a week now just because that's not good for my EQ. Think about that for a sec, right? How that's kind of a twisted business that that's it because you got to check your emotional quality. But, you know, so all of a sudden they'll start to knock themselves down where they should have. I am sure there's not one single person that if they reached out to you and said, Eric, I am struggling, that you wouldn't, you would take that call. I have a feeling that
I
you would.
I get it. Check you know? Your ego. Yeah, totally
check your
sense.
Ego. Yep. Ask for the help. And for that matter, check your ego to the 1,000 you have on your phone. They're the ones that can solve your problem, by the way.
Right.
You know, and so, because, I mean, people ask all the time, how do you honestly get your business back on again? Get rejected. Go out there and tell more people about what you do. And
it's almost like using rejection as a measuring stick of
100%. Yeah. Say, and you know what? One of the you've been using the word empathy a couple times already. Do you know how incredible it would be for me, Eric? I mean, I don't think I've done this with you yet. And where I would say, you know, Eric, I would love your help, man, to, you know, if you think of anyone that absolutely needs coaching, will you please keep me top of your mind? Right. First of all, did that make you feel weird?
No.
It didn't, right?
No.
You kind of went, okay, he's not selling me, and I want to help this guy out.
Yeah, because even when you think about it in levels, Jay, and I get it, not everybody out there has relationships that go back 30 years like you
right.
and I, but even as you take it to shorter periods of time and familiarity, as long as you weren't a jerk to somebody 5 years ago, or
right.
you know, sure they're going to be, yeah. What do you need? How can I help?
Actually, Eric, it's easier to call the ones you haven't spoken to in 5 years
yes,
to be able to ask them for
point.
Their help.
Yeah.
Than it would be to sit down
so
with Eric
to.
Pennington.
Yeah.
I've known you for 30 years. You and I are close friends. Our wives are close friends, and everything else. And now I'm going to turn around. All of a sudden, I'm going to pivot and say, Eric, I need your help on business. You know, do you know anyone I can serve? Because I'm just struggling. I mean, once again, we build it in our head. Like you said earlier, we build it in our head. Listen, you got 10 phone calls to make. Just make them. Make sure they know who you are, know what they do, what you do, and just let them know what kind of a blessing they can be to you by letting them know to keep you top of mind. That's all you're really doing. And you know what? What the most painful thing that can happen is they hang up going, okay, that was... You know, I haven't talked to that person in 5 years, but you know what? I mean, that was nice that they actually called, but yeah, I can't help them. I don't know anybody like that. Most people don't know until, have you ever heard of this thing called reticular activator?
Mm-mm, no.
A reticular activator is like, what kind of car do you drive?
Mini Cooper.
A Mini Cooper. Okay. So you probably didn't really think about the Mini Cooper very often from your years past, but once you bought it, did
noticed
you
it
not
all the
see
time.
Every
yeah.
you
yeah,
saw it all yeah, the time,
all
right?
The time.
All of a sudden you're seeing it. That's the reticular activator. And so when I tell somebody about that, when I tell you what I do, keep me top of mind, you might absolutely say to me, I have no one, man. It's okay. It's okay. But at least you know I'm in this business forever. So if you ever do run into somebody, just keep me top of mind. That's all, right? And it's done. Okay. All of a sudden they're going to start seeing it, and that's called, because they were never sensitive to it before, but now that they are, it might just come forward. And I can tell you right now that that's, you know, that's some of the greatest things that can happen in business. But if you keep it to yourself, if you let your ego get in the way to the point where you're all of a sudden not going to share it because you look like you're desperate, that whole thing, that is such a lie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because every business goes through, you look like you're desperate. Every business runs into that.
We've talked about it in previous episodes, and we've talked about it internally that, you know, there's such a misunderstanding of what owning a business, being an entrepreneur is. We look at Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk, and we have this, I mean, they're just false stories. They're false narratives.
Yes.
I mean, yes, those gentlemen, they are riding high in an atmosphere that most don't. That's right. The key. Most don't.
Correct.
There's such a rare percentage. And I know for me, one of the great understandings that I gained in my coming to Spirit of EQ was that dynamic about what is entrepreneurism? What is it truly about?
Yes.
What is it like to manage cash flow? What is it like to generate sales and revenue, marketing? What do you do when the person that said they would said, we changed our mind, we're not going to?
Yes.
How do you deal with that? How do you manage that? How do you manage your relationship with your spouse when you have to give bad news, right? All mm-hmm. of that dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the stuff that gets the press. Right. I mean, I've met some entrepreneurs who are vulnerable, strong enough to say, yeah, I was glad we made payroll last month. And you're looking at them going, well, I thought you were. And then I'm reminded, this is entrepreneurism.
Yep.
You're right. Elon Musk probably is not thinking about payroll. But the vast majority of entrepreneurs, yes, they mm-hmm. are. Yes, yeah. they are. Okay, so Jay, I knew it was going to happen. I was going to be facing this clock because we could keep going for a while, right?
Yes.
But I really want to get to something that is pertinent to what you do, because I've kind of put myself in a position like, this is great. We've talked for close to an hour. You've given some great insight and some very actionable things that you can do and on. But Monday's coming.
Right.
And you mentioned about don't go it alone.
Yes.
And there's multiple ways you can get help. One of the ways in which I know about Latreia is you guys are involved, and I'm going to use my own way of putting a spin or putting a description of it. You guys help organizations and individuals move their sales needle,
yes.
if I can say it like that,
yes.
through coaching and training, those kind of things, and other mechanisms. So if somebody in the audience, or maybe even who is certified in one of our products, whatever the situation may be, says, well, how do I need a little bit more here, Eric, than just your podcast episode.
Sure.
Ways they could get in touch, or some things that Latreia is doing that they could maybe get involved in, and whatever that may be, we can put it in the show notes for them to get a hold of you. Because again, I realize this is a 1 hour conversation that there's more to it, because
yes.
Monday's coming.
Right. Yeah. Monday is coming. Yes. No. So we are, and the name Latreia is kind of hard to spell, but Latreia Coaching is our website. That's probably going to be the best place for people to come to and be able to get to know us just a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're a coaching and consulting. So in other words, the coaching side of us is all about the sales and everything else. But as far as the consulting, I love that part of my job.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I'm sitting down with somebody and really evaluating, what is it that you really want? What do you want? Right? How much time are you going to spend in this? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Those are all very, very important pieces, because you got to become very realistic as to what the end results are. Now, I will tell you that somebody can do with 4 hours that somebody couldn't do in 8 hours. So it doesn't, when I'm saying, you know, let's really be realistic, does not mean that I'm going to sit here and say, oh, you want to make 100,000? With 4 hours a day? Man, no. You're talking 50,000 an hour, you know, like that.
Right.
That's not what I mean by that. But it's the effectiveness and what you're really going to do during that time. And so when you come to our website, you'll read all about us and everything else. All our contact information's right there.
Okay.
And part of it is that your audience, by the way, your group that you have to train, that you've trained and set up for their own businesses. We don't pull the trigger until after we've actually evaluated the whole thing and then given you a game plan based on how you how you're really going to dedicate yourself into it.
So in many ways, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jay, you guys want to have a conversation, a time 100%. To determine what is the need, where are you at, what would you like? Because I'm also, some of this is an assumption, so again, you can correct me if I'm wrong. You may come back with a recommendation of we have a two-part workshop.
Yes.
Is the next step, we think. Or it could be consulting, or it could be coaching, depending on where they're at and what they may
be. And one of your audience is going to see, so I know people are going to come to us, Eric, because of their vocational need. I know that. But what makes us unique as a coaching company is that we actually are not afraid to tackle four other well-beings in these people's lives. And so somebody who might be trying to be successful in the vocational side of it has never even looked at their spiritual well-being, their relational well-being, in other words, how are they doing with their family and their friends, their physical well-being, as well as really the philanthropical well-being, right? What did you do with the blessings you've been given? And that those areas in their lives could be the parts in their lives that's keeping them from succeeding. You know, half the time when you're dealing with rejection, Eric, and you're taking it personally rather than it is a numbers game, because it really is, right? But if you take everything personally and rejection is something you're not going to be able to handle, there's another reason why it's happening. It's not business. Something else. And, you know, EQ, I mean, this is what you guys are all about, but yet sometimes who pastors the pastor is the question, right?
Right.
So who experts the expert?
Who counsels the counselor?
Correct.
Yeah.
You know, and so you get yourself caught up in that. And here's the thing, we're willing to explore those other areas in conversations so that we can open up what is going to be necessary for the vocational side of it.
Yeah.
And that's usually what causes people to go from the tingles to the Monday, and then they just like, not what I signed up for, because it isn't just tingles anymore. It's now learning to fall in love. And that's what, you know, our pastor really wanted to say to us. Ride it out, because the love part is the fun part. You think it's the tingles, but it's really the love. That's the good part.
So. Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, that's great. Jay, I can't thank you enough for coming in.
Oh, man, this was so fun.
Yeah.
Really?
This is part one because we have a kind of a running, it's not a joke, it's a running theme that if we have a guest that runs close to and over an hour, it means there needs to be a part two.
So
We'd love to have you back.
I'd love to have you on mine.
There you go. Reciprocation is a good thing.
I would absolutely love that. And this studio of yours is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Well, everyone, we appreciate you tuning in today, and until we meet again, take care. Hi, everyone. This is Eric again. A couple of things as we've ended the show. We hope you enjoyed it. Hopefully, you're tuning in on a regular basis. We'd love it if you would give us a great review on whatever platform you're listening to the podcast. It's so appreciative and helps us as we try to get more exposure for the work we do and the episodes that we publish. And we're grateful to you as a listener. The second thing is, just remember, our content is for educational purposes only. It's not intended by any stretch to diagnose or to treat anything that may be occurring in your life or anyone else's life that you may be connected to through the podcast. But once again, we appreciate you tuning in to the shows. And as always, we look forward to the next time that we're together. Take care.